Morning. One today's daf is daf hey in Eruvin on the bottom of Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We started the Mishnah yesterday about Shituf Mavoi, and specifically the Mishnah wants to know how exactly do you do it. Meaning a Shituf Mavoi is basically a collection of everybody, unification of everybody. We want to incorporate everyone into that Mavoi so that we'll be able to carry from our house to the Chatzar, from the Chatzar to the Mavoi. So the Mishnah asks a very simple question, Ketzad Mishtatim B'mavoi, so how exactly do we do it? So essentially, in other words, in theory, what we would want is everyone to actually contribute. Everybody take some food and bring it into a central location and contribute their food into together with our food, and we would put in somebody's chatzar. That would be in theory, but practically speaking, that's very difficult, especially every member of the Mavoi. So what we do is we're going to give on their behalf, which is in fact what we do nowadays, but we're going to give it on everybody's behalf. So basically, we're going to make a kinyan for somebody else. Now we have a basic rule of Zachal Adam Shalom Befanav, that if I want to do something for you which is only helpful to you and in no way is going to hurt you, so therefore I can make a zechus for you, I can actually make a kinyan for you without your knowledge and without your consent. This is the principle of Zachal Adam Shalom Befanav. By Eruv Chatzeros, so that's true. Meaning Zachal Adam Shalom Befanav, meaning that by us now creating this Eruv, I'd be allowed to carry from my house to the chatzar, from my chatzar back to the house. And if I did shituf mavoos, I go even one step further. I can carry from my chatzar to the mavoi, from the mavoi back to my chatzar. I have nothing to lose. There's no downside to creating an eruv chatzeros or shituf mavoi. So therefore, zachal adam shalom b'fanav. That's a given. The only issue which our Mishnah doesn't really discuss, our Mishnah kind of just says it very flatly, and once we get to the Gemara, there's going to be a healthy amount of discussion, is the following. Great. So I'm now Zachal Adam Shalom B'Fanav. So now I have food, and let's say every one of us in this room right now is a member of one chatzer. And now what I'd like to do is I'd like this food, I'd like to confer on everybody else here in this room so that everyone now is a contributor. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this food that I have in front of me, okay, let's imagine, and let me now make a kinyan that I'm going to be machna the food to everyone here in this room. Okay, so how do I make a kinyan? So the best way to do it is to have you right here in this room with me. And we'll do Hagbah, we'll do Mashiach, whatever's the appropriate method of kinyan. So now the food belongs to you, and now you're contributing it back to me for the Eruv. Okay, but again, to get everyone together in this room together is, again, going to be a little bit, it'll be a little strenuous. So what we're going to do is the following. So I'll make a kinyan for you, but you need somebody to receive. So what we're going to do traditionally is you'll appoint somebody, or I'll appoint somebody for you, again, Zachal Adam Shalom B'Fanav, you'll appoint somebody to actually make the kinyan on your behalf. Now, basically, the Mishnah says it could be anybody. The only people that it can't be is my minor child, right? Katan, and when the Mishnah says Katan, right, Benoah Katan, so I quoted Rabbi Natam yesterday. Rabbi Natam says it's even if he's an adult, but he's still Somech HaShulchan Aviv. So then no, because then you're not actually making a kinyan with somebody else. Meaning because when you give him money, it's essentially you giving yourself money. So it's got to be a gadol, somebody who is a child who is self-supportive. Or truth be told, it could be anybody. The point is that you need somebody to act as the recipient of the kinyan. So I am now going to create a kinyan ayidei acher. Okay, and I say to you, this is on behalf of everyone here in the community. And then, of course, you give it back to me, and now I hold it for everybody. Okay, so says the Mishnah, that's what we do. Okay, very straightforward. That's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. We went through the Gemara yesterday in the Amud Beis. We went through nearly all of it. The Gemara brought in a couple of tangential points. First of all, the non-tangent point, when we actually lift up the barrel. So how high do we have to lift it? So interestingly enough, we learned yesterday in the Gemara, one tefach. That's all you have to lift it is one tefach. So Tosus pointed out yesterday, that's not unusual by Hagbah. But normally by Hagbah, you have to lift something up three tefachim, right? I assume that's because of Lavud. In other words, you got to get it off the ground, and anything within three tefachim is connected to the ground. So Tosus points out, the second to last Tosus on the Amud, so here by Eruv, we're just more Mekel. It's Eruv, it's Eruv Tchumim, and so therefore, even though normally a Kinyan Hagbah requires three tefachim, over here, it's only one tefach. Okay, so it says Toshos. Anyway, but that was the one point the Gemara made, and then the Gemara made a couple of tangential points. Why did it come up in the Gemara yesterday? Because these were statements made by Sabbat de Pumpadisa, the elders of Pumpadisa. So they made a statement regarding heating up water for somebody who's ill on Shabbos, deathly ill on Shabbos. So the Gemara points out it doesn't matter what the illness is, and it doesn't matter the season. In other words, they're always going to heat up water for the person who is a chola sheish basakana on Shabbos. Okay, and then the Gemara says, here's another statement made by Sabbat de Pumpadisa. We're just going to pick it up right where we left off on the in the Gemara yesterday. Ayin Testament base, 2 lines from the bottom. Hanami Sabbat de Pumpadisa Amrino de Itmar. I'm sorry, Amar Amemar. Okay. Hanami Sabbat de Pumpadisa Amrino de Itmar. Ezu Asher Stam. How do you know if a tree is an Asher tree? We just talked about Asher yesterday. Two days ago. How do you know that a tree is an Asher tree? As Rashi pointed out, what do you mean, how do you know? Aren't you going to see people bow down to it? So Rashi points out, the Bar Rashi and the Amud, these are ways of telling us that it's an Asher tree, even if I didn't see someone bow down to it, other telltale signs that this is an Asher tree. So, Ditmaizu Asher Estam, Amarav, Kolshe, Mishmarti, Ovde, Galilim, Shomrim, Osa. Okay, you see guardsmen around the tree. Strange, it's peculiar. Why is there somebody guarding the tree? Oh, it's right. They're securing the Asher tree. The Ein Toamim Meperoseha. Another telltale sign. No one's eating the fruit of this tree. Sacrilegious. I mean, wrong religion, but sacrilegious. Ushmul Amar Kigon De Amre Hanitamare Leshicha De Benitzrafu Deshasale Biyam Chagam. Another telltale sign, says Shmuel, is that the idolaters are saying regarding that tree, wait a second, don't pick the fruit yet. The fruit from that tree, we're going to make beer so that we could drink it on our pagan holiday. I mean, that's a pretty clear telltale sign. I don't know why it's that's not inference, that's just, he says it. I'm really sabit de pumbedisa yochza kavasa de shmuel, and the Gemara says that's in fact the halacha. In other words, if you hear them saying that previous statement about the tree, hey, let's hold the fruit so that we could drink it on the Yom Chagam, so then you know that it's an Asher tree and therefore accorded all the status of an Asher tree, which is, by the way, if the tree is an Asher tree, A, Asherim tisrafum ba'ish, you gotta burn it. And you can't get any hana. There's simply no benefit that you'll have to get from that tree, as that tree is an avodah zarah. Amazing. Okay, now all tangential points now aside, we're returning back to our discussion in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to have said nothing controversial. Our Mishnah says that if I want to create a sheet of mavui for everyone in the community, everyone in the mavui, so therefore what I have to do is kinyan al yidei acher. Okay, pretty straightforward. May say the Gemara challenges Ketza Meshafim B'mavu Mevin Chavishol Yain Vishol Shemen Vishol Tamar Vishol Grogwurz Vishol Shar Minei Peros Imishol Otzarech Lezakos. Now, if you're the owner of the food, so then you have to create a kinyan for everyone else. V'imishalahem. Now, what if it's not your food? What if it's actually their food? That's fine, but you have to tell them that you're using their food. Tzarech Lahodil U'magbiyam Anakarka Mashu. And in the Brace it says, and when we're going to do a transfer, so you have to do a hagbah off the ground on Mashahu. Okay, so it's a small problem. It's not a major issue. And our Mishnah, our Mishnah didn't actually say, but we learned after the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda tells us that you have to pick it up off the ground a tefach, and here in the Braisa it says a Mashahu. So my Mashahu not b'dikam or tefach. So the Gemara says very simply, okay, but that's what Mashahu means in this context. Mashu means that you have to pick it up off the ground in Tefach. And certainly based on what we saw in Tosfos in the beginning of this of the Daf, you understand why Tefach is described here as a Mashu. Because generally speaking, for Hagbah, I need 3 Tefachim. But now, for whatever reason, the Chachamim were Mekel, so therefore, here we could say Mashu. Mashu here means relative to what Hagbah normally needs to be, which is 3 Tefachim. Here, a fraction of 3 Tefachim. 1 Tefach would be enough. Tosus doesn't give any svar, yeah. And I'm not.
And one other thing, he said says that some Gaonim explain that the barrel has to remain a tefach off the ground to differentiate.
Remain,
differentiate it from
right.
The barrels there.
Okay, I mean.
He quotes the Rambam.
Okay, fine. That's fine, because according to Tosus, it's really a function of kinyan.
Yeah.
And to, right, yeah, I don't know. He just simply says that they were makel, and I don't know why. Itmar. Okay, now this now brings us to a debate. Even though right now there is no debate, everything's been very cut and dry. But now the Gemara is going to introduce us to a debate. Look, if I'm going to create a sheet of mavui for everyone here in the community, so I have to make a kinyan for you, which means, as I described in the beginning of the daf, is that I need somebody else, because by every kinyan, there has to be the person who is creating, right? There's a buyer and there's a seller. Or in this case, there's a giver and there's a receiver. So in this form of a kinyan, so you need to be represented by somebody. So in other words, I can't just simply hold in the air and say, hey, this is for everybody. In other words, there has to be an actual maisa kinyan, which requires me to give it, somebody to receive it, that somebody could be a shlich for everybody here in the room. In fact, is a shlich for everyone here in the room, but that's generally speaking how it works. What the Gemara now is going to introduce us to is the idea that not everyone agrees. Some are of the opinion, we'll get to who the some are, some are the opinion that it would be sufficient if I just simply held up the food and say, hey, this is for everybody. Even though there was no giver and actual receiver. Okay. Itmar shitufa mavos ravar main starch lezakos. So when it comes to shitof mavoi, so according to Rav, no, you don't have to create a zechus. No need, says Rav. And shitufa mavos, Ushmul amar tzarch lezakos. And Shmuel disagrees, and Shmuel says, yeah, no, you have to be mezakeh. Meaning you have to do it with a formal kinyan. Okay, that's by shitufe mavoos. Rav is not going to, Rav will have difficulty with the Mishnah. In fact, the Gemara doesn't say this, but we're going to have to say this. Rav just simply argues with the Mishnah. It's not an insignificant point, and the Gemara just assumes that we're gonna know that. Eruv etchumim, and then when it comes to eruv tchum, so we're gonna go the other way. Rav amar tzarch lezakos. Rav says eruv tchum. There you need a real zechus, meaning that if let's say I'm going to create an eruv tchum for somebody else. Now, Erev Tchum is different, by the way. I mean, we spent half of the Masechta talking about Erev Tchum. Third, fourth, and fifth Prakim of Erevin was dedicated to Tchum, but we all know it's not a total Zechus when it comes to Erev Tchum. Tchum is always a zero-sum game. You may gain to be able to walk extra in this direction, but whatever extra you gain in that direction, you lose in another direction. So by Erev Chatzeros, it's all gain and no loss, because I get to now carry with no downside. But when it comes to Erev Tchum, there will automatically be a downside. So, by Erev Tchum, according to Rav, Tzarech Lezakos, if I'm going to create an Erev Tchum for somebody else, now, first of all, it goes without saying, I need his consent. But more than that, if let's say I'm going to give him food for the Erev Tchum, so I have to create a formal kinyan, which means that I'm going to give. If he's not here to receive, so somebody else will have to receive on his behalf. I can't just simply hold the food up in the air and say, hey, this will be my Erev Tchum for Ploni, for so-and-so. Ushmul amar ein tzarech lezakos. And Shmuel says, no zechus is necessary for the Erev Tchum. Now, let's now try to think about this for a moment in terms of Svara. The Gemara gives us nothing in terms of Svara. Well, again, we're not talking, it has to be with consent. The issue over here is with or without consent. The issue over here is that when am I doing the actual kinyan itself, do I have to do the normal formal kinyan, which means that there is a giver and there is a receiver, or no? Can I just simply hold it up and say, hey, this is for everybody, even though I'm not doing the formal kinyan? So Rav's position is that when it comes to when I say shitufa mevos, the same thing, presumably, the same thing would be true for Erev Chatzeres as well. I cannot really think of a reason why there'd be a split between Erev Chatzeres and shitufa mevos. Rav's of the opinion that when it comes to shitufa mevos, ain't tzarech lezakos. You don't have to do a zechus. In other words, you don't have to do kinyan al yidei acher. Just enough to hold it up. And when it comes to Eruv Etchum, so he says, no, you have to be mezakeh. And Shmuel flips. Shmuel goes the other way. I think Rav, okay, I'm going to propose, I think Rav is easier to understand. Meaning, when it comes to Eruv Chatzera, Shitufim Mavos, so, right, well, who's going to object?
Right.
Why would there even be a point of objection? Meaning, here we are, with this mechanism, everyone's going to be allowed to carry in the Chatzir, everyone's going to be allowed to carry in the Mavoi. Right? Is everyone okay with that? I mean, who wouldn't be okay with that? Meaning, huh? Okay, fine. Perhaps, but right now seems to be that the debate is, and under any circumstance, right, you want to limit it. And the Gemara later on will suggest something like that, but right now seems to be under all circumstances. So I think Rav is easier to understand. But when it comes to Tchum, where although you're gaining on one side, but you're going to lose on the other side, so now you need to make a formal kinyan. So I don't think really Rav has much in terms of needing to defend himself. I think his position pretty much speaks for itself. Shmuel is more difficult. Shmuel goes the other way. By that Shitufim Mavos, oh, there you need a formal kinyan. By Eruv Tchum, there you don't need a formal kinyan. That's harder to understand. So let's take a look at the top Tosus on the Amud. So Tosus on the top of the Amud tries to help us get through Shita Shmuel. See the top? The Tosus, I'll start from the very beginning. Rav Amar Yitzchak Lezakos, Tekev and Da'as Arlei, Kamo Makne Lei. So, I mean, Tosus says it simply for Rav. Look, we're in the Chatzer. Without the Eruv Chatzeros, we won't be able to carry. Is everyone in? I'd imagine the answer is yes. I don't have to go through a formal kinyan. And then when it comes to Erev Tchum, meaning there, that's a significant move because you're going to gain here, but you're going to lose over here. I need a formal kinyan. But now we get to Shita Shmuel. Ushmuel b'mavut tzarech lezakos de'lemikne reshushu de'kasava Erev mishum kinyan b'perek mishotzil. So Tosus reminds us, we did a Gemara some time ago, all the way back on Daf Mem Tes, where the Gemara over there deals with really a fundamental question, which, oddly enough, it comes up in the fourth parak of Erevin, regarding how Erev Chatzeres actually works. What's the mechanics behind Erev Chatzeres? So the Gemara back there gave two explanations. Erev is Mishum Kinyan, or Erev is Mishum Dira. Now Erev Mishum Kinyan means we're going to make an acquisition. Meaning that we're all going to acquire the courtyard. Okay? It's a form of acquisition. And what's the method of acquisition? The food. The food is going to be there for me to now acquire a portion of the chatzer. Or a portion of the person's house. However exactly you want to say it. But Erev is Mishum Kinyan. So if Erev is Mishum Kinyan, so Tosu says, that's Shmuel. Meaning Shmuel says, you want to do Erev Chatzeres. And the means of doing Erev Chatzeres is via Kinyan. So there we have to do the formal Kinyan. There has to be a giver and there has to be someone actually receiving it. So that's why it has to be Zemezakai De'acher. It's got to go through the normal, standard, formal Kinyan. And Afila and Tosos also understands that there's another opinion in that Gemara over there. And Afila Lamandama Erev Mishum Dira Tzarech Lezakos Kedeshe Kona Dira Bebayis Chavera. And Tosu says, and let's say you even go with the position that Erev is Mishum Dira. But still, what I'm doing is I'm establishing residence in your house. I also have to do some form of kinyan in order to establish that residence. Uvitchumim, okay, good. So that's Shmuel now by Chatzeres, a formal kinyan must be done. And what about Tchum? What could possibly be the explanation behind Shmuel and Tchum? Why by Tchum does Shmuel say, I don't need a formal kinyan? So, Tosa says, Sava Shmuel, Dein Tzarech Lezakos, Delo Kani Rishus, Acherim Hu. So first of all, I'm not acquiring somebody else's property. Meaning, Erev Tchum is, instead of this being my home, that random area over there is going to be my home. But I'm not really buying a home. It's not purchasing a home. I'm just calling that my Makom Shvisa. But we all understand. There's no real kinyan going on. So therefore, I don't need a formal kinyan. That's one explanation of Shmuel for Erev Tchum. Inami, Kevin De'ein Ma'arvin Eruv Tchum and Eladvar Mitzvah, Mishum Mitzvah Gamal Makne. Also, remember, when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, there doesn't have to be any mitzvah aspect to making Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros is done simply because we want to carry from our house to the Chatzer. Erev Tchum, according to some, can only be done L'shem Mitzvah. It cannot be that I just simply want to walk there. There has to be justification, and that comes in the form of a mitzvah. Achnasas kala, right? I'm going to hear a shir, a Torah.
But you make your bracha for both.
Granted, meaning true, but the only reason, the only way I can make, you're right. In other words, both of them constitute a mitzvah derabanan. But the only allowance I have to make an Erev Tchum is only for the purpose of a mitzvah. So therefore, since I'm going to do a mitzvah, so who wouldn't want to do a mitzvah? Right? In other words, you have a mitzvah opportunity, I'm in. I don't need any formal kinyan to get me to do a mitzvah. And Tosfos gives a third explanation behind Shmuel. Why Shmuel says that when it comes to Erev Tchum, I don't need a formal kinyan. So Tosfos says like this. Look, as we discussed just a couple minutes ago. By Erev Tchum, I need your consent. I can't make an Erev Tchum for you without you saying, go ahead and do so. Because I'll gain here, but I'm going to lose over here. So I need to go over to you and say, do you want me to make an Erev Tchum for you? And you say yes. That yes is basically gamar umakne. That's basically you saying to me, not only am I okay with it, I'm super okay with it. Because there's an understanding that by Erev Tchum, I gain here, I lose there. So by you acquiescing, you're basically saying I'm all in. The only reason why we ever need to do a formal kinyan, right, you'll hear this time and again as we get to the Nezik and we get to Bab Metzia, get to Bab Basra. The only reason why we make a formal kinyan is just to make sure you and I both understand that a kinyan has been done, meaning hagbah, meshicha. Right, what is that? What is a formal kinyan? A formal kinyan is just now we have an agreement. Right, we'll talk later on. I mean, much later on in Shas. Right, about kinyan sudar. Kinyan sudar, the idea that I hold up a handkerchief. Okay, kinyan was done. What's a handkerchief? A handkerchief is just simply an understanding. It's a representation. Hey, we agree, right? In modern times, a handshake. Although I understand what's happened to the handshake, but but in other words, it's just gamar makne. Once the person says, "I'm in," go ahead, make my Erev Tchum for me. That's already gamar makne, and therefore you don't need the formal giver and receiver for Tchum, for Erev Tchum. Okay, so Tosfos, just give me a moment. Tosfos gives three different explanations behind Shmuel, why Shmuel says that when it comes to Erev Tchum, you don't need a giver and a receiver. You don't need Ziku Ayde Acher. But when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, according to Shmuel, you do need Ziku Ayde Acher. Okay, so where we stand right now, it's a major machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, whether by Erev Chatzeres I need Kinyan Ayde Acher. Rav says no, Shmuel says yes. And by Erev Tchum, do I need Kinyan Ayideh Acher? Rav says no, Shmuel says yes. Other way around. Rav says, thank you. Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. Okay? That's where we stand right now in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, and where, well let's see. Okay, and again, all that Svara that I just gave, it's not in the Gemara. In other words, you're going to, Tosfos over here really is going to be responsible for giving us all the Svara. Back to the Gemara. Sorry, I lost my place. Good. Bishlam l'Shmuel. Okay, in the Gemara, about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Bishlam l'Shmuel hacha tanan v'hacha lo tanan. Shmuel actually is very defensible, right? As Rabbi Tershel points out, meaning look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about Shito of Mavoi. Our Mishnah says Ziko yedei acher, right? Like Shmuel, the Mishnah which we haven't seen yet, the Mishnah coming up on Pei Beis, which is going to be talking about Erev Tchum, does not mention Ziku Ayideh Acher. That also supports Shmuel. So the Mishnayos go in accordance with Shmuel. Perfect. Ela l'Rav Maitaima. So, but according to Rav, Maitaima. My time over here doesn't mean Svara. My time over here means the Mishnayos are not going like him. What? How does he defend himself? So Tanahi. So the Gemara says, well, Rav will tell you that Tamachlok is Tanayim. And truth be told, is that Rav himself also has status of a Tana, but Tanahi. So the Gemara tells us the following story. The daughter of Rav Oshia, Shahachla Beis Amerchas, right before Shabbos, she went to the bathhouse. V'chash chala. And what happened was, bathhouse was out of town, and it not only was that out of town, it was outside of Tchum. And now, she's struggling to get back into town before Shabbos. And the problem now is that she's outside of Tchum. So the only way to get her back into town is somebody make an Eruv Tchum on her behalf. The Irvala Chamosa, her mother-in-law, who normally the Gemara says, it's not, but the Gemara says there's usually a cantankerous relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Right, we're going to see that together in the Gemara in Yevamos, about the nature of that relationship. But her mother-in-law actually made an Eruv Tchum for her daughter-in-law. And the matter came in front of Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya says, no, it's not going to work. That Eruv Tchum that was made by the mother-in-law for her daughter-in-law, which was for the noblest of reasons, to get her daughter-in-law back into town for Shabbos, it simply does not work. So Amalei Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi Bavlai kol kacha tamachmer be'eruvin, and Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi says, you Babylonians, I don't understand why you're so machmer when it comes to Erev. Kacha amar Abba kol sheyesh lahakel be'eruvin hakel. He quotes his father Rabbi Yossi. My father Rabbi Yossi says that if we have a room to be makel when it comes to Erev, we should be makel. Erev is a din derabanan. We should be makel by dina Erevin.
Can a woman act as a shidduch for another woman?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Gemara Kedushin says yes.
Even if it's on her food?
We'll get to whose food it is in just a moment. V'i bayilahu. Now, an important point in the story, which was not clear as we went through the story, was what exactly was the problem? Rabbi Chiya said it's no good. Why did Rabbi Chiya say it's no good? We don't know. So the Gemara now wants to try to figure out exactly that point. What's the problem? Why was this Erev no good that was made by the mother-in-law on behalf of her daughter-in-law? Is it because she, the mother-in-law, used her own food, but without making a zechus, meaning without doing a formal kinyan of giving it to somebody, obviously not a daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law was simply not available, but giving it to somebody representing a daughter-in-law. Or maybe she was using a daughter-in-law's food, but without the consent of her daughter-in-law, and that was the problem. Simply put, we don't know why Rabbi Chiya said it was no good. So Amar Lama, Umi Rabban, Rabbi Yaakov Shmeli, Didi Mefarsh Leminei, De Rabbi Yochanan, Mishal Chamos, Erevah, Mishum Delo Zich Salah. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I know, I have a tradition, that what happened was is that the mother-in-law was using her own food, and she didn't confer on somebody else, she didn't make a formal kinyan, that was the problem. In other words, this supports the position of Rav. That you need that a formal kinyan must be done. So Amalei Rabbi Zera le Rav Yaakov.
He says that she did use the food from her daughter-in-law, but she wasn't the zakir.
Right. What?
Mishilah in this case means from the daughter-in-law. But she did not, was the problem was that she was not the zakir.
That's what I mean.
The Gemara said before Mishamoiso or Mishilah.
Mishilah means. I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear. Okay. So Amalei Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Yaakov, Berad Debas Yaakov, Kimatas Hasamakif. So basically the Gemara is going to take us now through the same step-by-step process of just again determining how we know what Rabbi Chiya did was, why did Rabbi Chiya apostle it? So Kimatas Hasamakif, when you go over there, presumably to Eretz Yisrael, Akif, I want you to take a circuitous route. Vizil Asuma Tzor, and I want you to go to this, right, literally the ladder of Tzor. I guess that means a specific area. Ubay mi name Rav Yaakov Baidi, by me name Mishal Chamos Erva, Umishum Dlo Zech Salah, Dilma Mishal Erva, Mishum Dlo Midaita, Amrla Mishal Chamosa Erva La, Umishum Dlo Zech Salah. Right here it says Chamosa. Okay, the food belonged to the mother-in-law. And she wanted to be mezaka to her daughter-in-law. The problem is she didn't do a formal kinyan. There was no, she didn't appoint somebody to receive it on behalf of her daughter, and that's why the Erev Tchum was no good. So once again, this again supports the position of Rav, even though in Achinam, the Mishnayos don't support it, but through the story that's told, clearly you see it's a machlokas. And we also saw, by the way, in the same story, where Rabbi Yishmael says, my father would have gone crazy. My father, Rav Yossi, would have said, you're going to be machmer by Erev? That's crazy. I'm Rav Nachman Akhtinan, and speaking of crazy, so Rav Nachman says, God forbid, I do not mean that, but Rav Nachman. I mean, but about being Machmir. I'm Rav Nachman Akhtinan, Echad Eruv Etchomen, Echad Eruv Echatzeros, Echad Shitufe Mavolos, Sarach Lezakos. The Gemara takes the Chumer position, which is that you always have to do Zikwa Edeacher. Meaning, right, what Rav Nachman basically says is, it's a kinyan. I'm making a kinyan on behalf of somebody else. So regardless whether it's Shituf Mavos, Erev Chatzero, Erev Tchomim, it does not matter. And all these cases where I'm going to basically be giving for somebody else, meaning I'm going to give somebody food, so I have to be Mezakeh Da'acher. I need to appoint somebody to receive it on that person's behalf. And Tosus points out, by the way, this is in fact the halacha. Tosus says, v'chein halacha, v'chein pasuk v'shiltos. He quotes the shiltos, Rav Achai, meaning this is in fact the halacha that you always have to be mezakeh yideh acher. Okay, by Rav Nachman, back to the Gemara, only one more issue left to determine. Erev Tavshilin, right? Erev Tavshilin is the Erev that we don't talk about in Erevin. Right, Erevin, an entire masech dedicated to the topic of Erevin, and meanwhile we only talk about two of the three. We talked about Erev Tchumen, we talked about Erev Chatzeres, we don't talk about Erev Tavshilin. Well, why not? Well, it's not the place, meaning we are not talking, we talk about carrying, transferring from one house to another, from one to a courtyard, traveling beyond 2,000. It's just not the place. Where is the place? Beitza. Masechta Beitza is where we're going to be talking about Erev Tavshilin, specifically the second parak of Masechta Beitza. But right now, in our context, just a quick question. Erev Tavshilin. Let's say I make an Erev Tavshilin for myself. I'm going to use my own food. Great. What if I'm going to make an Erev Tavshilin for somebody else? Once again, I need to give him food. Do I have to make a kinyan al yidei acher? Just like we just concluded by all the other Erevin. Erev Tchom, Erev Chatzeros, and Shitufa Mevos. So by Rav Nachman, Erev Tavshilin, Tzarech Lezakos, and Tzarech Lezakos. Again, the Gemara does nothing in terms of Svara right now. Why it would be different, why you would think differently. Am Rav Yosef, Maiti Ba'ilei. Lo Shmi'alei Had, Am Rav Nachman, Bar Rav Ada, Am Rishmul, Eruv, Tavshilin, Tzarech Lezakos. So, what do you mean? The Gemara says, I have a Memra that says that you have to do a Zikwa, Ede Acher. Now, I know he never knew about this memra. Had he known about this memra, he never would have asked the question. So the Gemara says, okay, just because he didn't know the memra, and you're telling me that if he knew the memra, he wouldn't have argued? He knows Shmuel. Shmuel says that when it comes to Erev Tchum, you don't have to be Mezakeh, and we know that Rav Nachman disagrees over there, so why would you automatically assume that Rav Nachman heard this, he wouldn't have disagreed? He may have. Hachi hashta bishlam asam pligi Rav Shmuel v'kamashmalan kichum and damar v'kichum and damar. The Gemara says, well, no, because in the previous cases of Erev Tchum and Erev Chatzeros and Shituf and Mavoros, so there, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And what Rav Nachman needs to tell us is, I follow the chumra of both. I require zikui ayide acher in both. Avahachi yisa deshmielei, mika demanda palig. So the Gemara says, but over here, no one's arguing. Meaning there is no bar plukta. So the assumption would be that if Rav Nachman would have known this, Rav Nachman would have said that by Erev Tavshilin, you also need Zikoy Ayide Acher. By the way, Tosa says, also Erev Tavshilin, you do need Zikoy Ayide Acher. Well, that's what Tosa says.
How does the rabbi give it for the...
Huh? Well, in other words, if you fail to make it, you could rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. All right, that's a good point. But that's only if you were a shogeg.
Yeah.
And that can only work once.
But does that mean that the
rub
has to...
I'm sure. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm just... I mean, Tosu says that even by your Tavshilin, we also paskan like that you need Zikwa Ayde Acher. Okay. I didn't look it up in the Shulchan Aruch, to be honest. So, Me'eman Depalik. Ha'hu Torzina. Okay. A new discussion in the Gemara now. We've had versions of this discussion earlier in the Masechta. There is a Torzina. Torzina is a non-Jew. What was he? He was the security guard of the chatzer. Okay. Right. Our need for security is not a new phenomena. Right. It goes. It takes us back. So he was the. Not only was he the guard of the chatzer, he also had a home in the chatzer. So Dahava b'shivusa de Rabbi Zera amalei urgalach reshusech. And so we go to him, and as we learned already in the sixth parak of Erevin, so we need to rent out his space in the chatzer. Meaning for us to make an Erev chatzeros, we first need to be socher his rishus. So we go over to him and we have the very awkward conversation. Can we be socher your rishus? Lo ogur lahu. And his answer was no. Okay. And that, and as we talked about earlier, that always is going to present a problem. Without him being socher rishus, we can't make an Erev chatzeros. Also coming to Rabbi Zera, Amolei, Mola Mega, Medivasayu. So we went over to Rabbi Zera and said, look, we have a bit of a predicament. He, the non-Jew living in our chatzer, he's unwilling to be socher rishus, but his wife is willing. So, can we go to his wife and be socher from his wife, even though he himself is unwilling? Interesting answer coming up. Amar lehu, hachi amar Reish Lakish, meshmei degava rabba, umanu Rabbi Chanina. So I heard it in the name of Reish Lakish, who heard it from Rabbi Chanina. Ishto shel adam arev shlomi dato. Wife can do it for her husband, even if he's not a willing partner. Now, under normal husband, right? Well, wait, just one, wait, wait. give this a moment. Give this a... No, I understand, right? The Jewish wife says no. I mean, who? Right? What's okay? I do. Just wait, but wait though. The Gemara is gonna transition. But right now, even though the husband's saying no, but if you go to the wife and she says yeah, sure, I'll rent it out. You go rent it out from the wife, even though the husband himself is unwilling. Now, normally, in the husband-wife relationship, especially when it comes to money, so usually. In halacha, the wife cannot do something financially without the consent of her husband. Meanwhile, over here, we're meiko. Now, I'm venturing to say, this is my venture. So, again, just take it for what it's worth. I'm venturing to say it's an Erevin halacha. It's a localized halacha regarding Erevin. It's not a global halacha that, generally speaking, the husband says, no, you can go to the wife, and she'll say, oh, no problem at all. Sure, we're ready to sell the car. And normally, that's not so. But in the world of Erevin, it's a kula built into the world of Erevin that you can go, even though the husband is not reluctant, even though the husband is reluctant, you can go to the wife. But right now we're talking about schiras harishus of a non-Jew. Would this also work regarding Erev? Meaning, let's say, I don't know why, but let's say you go to the husband and says, okay, could you please make your contribution to the Erev? And he says, no. Okay, so can you now go to the wife and say, look, your husband's being a little bit combative, for whatever reason, would you give to the Erev? And she says, yes. Would it also work there? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss. First, the Gemara is going to tell us almost a nearly identical story. So he says, no, I refuse to rent it out. So in this second version of the story, which is nearly identical, but he didn't know. And the conclusion is same conclusion. Meitzve. The Gemara says, what about the following? It's a brace. Anoshim she'eruvim nishanfu shalom midas baleyan. Ein eruvan eruv. The ain shitufan shituf. So the Mishnah says that the wife cannot do it without the consent of her husband. And you just told me two times over the wife can do it without the consent of her husband. Now you notice, by the way, that the Gemara just made a seamless transition from renting from a non-Jew to accepting the Erev contribution from a Jew. Right? And the Gemara is not going to say, wait a second, you just switched topics on us. The Gemara assumes it's the same conversation. That just like we just concluded that you can rent the rights from a non-Jew, and if he refuses, you can go to the wife. Same thing is true with Erev. That if the husband, for whatever reason, is reluctant to give to the Erev Chatzeres, or the Sheets of Mavo, you can go to the wife. Okay, and Okay, and the Gemara does not see any difference between the two cases. Meanwhile, however, we have a problem, because we just said by Schira you can do it, and by Erev you can't do it. Lo kasha hada asar hada lo asar. And the Gemara says, it depends. If without his contribution to the Erev, we're going to get stuck, so now you can go to the wife. And the wife can contribute the Erev on behalf. Okay, because if not, whether it's going to adversely affect every member of the chatzar, no one would be allowed to carry. However, if he's eino aser, which is strange, by the way, what does that mean? He's eino aser. If he's living in the chatzar and he's not going to be oser, well, how can he not be oser? So, it was the Rashi over here. Yeah. So Rashi over here says, kagon chatzar shebein shtei mavois regila im ze velo im ze. Let's say we talked about this earlier in the Masechta, right? There are center chatzar, there's a mavui on one side, there's a mavui on the other side, and they usually use the mavui on one side, not the other. They're not oser on the non-U side, right? We had a difficult Gemara earlier that talked about barricading the one side that's normally used, forcing them on the side that they don't normally use. But anyway, that would be an example where it's eino oser. Either way, the point the Gemara is making and the conclusion of the Gemara is that, yeah, you can go to the wife. If by not contributing to the Eruv, they're going to adversely affect the Chatzer, and the husband, for whatever reason, is reluctant to give, he doesn't want to give, whatever, he's difficult, whatever the case is, you can go to the wife, and if she wants to contribute, that will, in fact, work.
Nowadays, what are we doing with going?
Huh?
What are we doing with going?
We actually, we're socher. What happened was, you speak to Rabbi Goldberg about this, probably done by Rabbi Brander. But what they did is they went to the council, the city council, and they spoke about renting out the common area. And the city council did it for on behalf of all the non-Jews living in the area. Okay. The Gemara says, and by the way, you have to say this because we have another statement by Shmuel. There was a resident of the Mavui who normally does contribute, and for whatever reason, he's having a rough week. Again, people are complicated. Don't ask me to explain people. But for whatever reason, he didn't. So Bnei Mavui nechnas l'soch beis v'nolin shitufa mimenu bal karcho. So and what happens now is that the members of the Mavui can go into his house and say, look, you normally contribute. Whatever reason you're being difficult this week, thank you so much for your contribution. You're going to contribute, even though you're right now not super excited into doing so. And although the Gemara over here, this statement to Shmuel doesn't seem to be talking about with or without his wife's participation, but take a look at the bottom. Tosos over here says that we're speaking specifically where his wife is saying, yeah, go ahead, it's okay. Ragol in Shein Ragol lo Shmamina. In this statement of Shmuel, this was only under the circumstance where he was a normal contributor, and in this particular case, he didn't contribute. So, but it sounds like that under normal circumstances, he can't do it. So again, it must be that it depends. If he's Oser, the wife can give on his behalf, even though he doesn't want it. If he's not Oser, so then no, he can't force it out of him. So lema misayele, the Gemara says, what about the following? Seems to be supportive. Kofenos alasos lechi v'kor lamavui. So the Gemara says, let's say we have a mavui without a lechi and korah, and it costs money to make a lechi and a korah for our mavui. So what we can do is we can force contributions. Not will you give, but we'll just take out the will, right? You give, done. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Deleka Mechitzos. So the Gemara says, well, that's different, meaning by Erev Chatzeros, forced contribution, maybe not. By Lechi and Korah, yes, we will force a contribution. Why? Because without a Lechi and Korah, we don't have a Mechitza. Now, there is a very interesting Rashi over here. Let's take a look at it quickly. Rashi writes, Mavui Megulahu. You see, the mavui is totally opened up into the Rishos HaRabim, the Eino Noch L'Shomro. And therefore, right, there's a security aspect to it, Hilka, Kofenoso, so therefore we forced everyone to contribute to the Lechi and the Korah. It is a challenging Rashi, to be honest with you, because we all know what Alechi and Korah is. Alechi is a small little vertical pole on the side, and a Korah is going to be a beam going over the top. And that's now going to provide security. Right, I know sometimes, and I'm sometimes guilty of this as well. In other words, right, we made a fence around BRS, and I, you know, sometimes often quip, like sometimes often I sometimes quip. You know, what's that going to do? Yeah, but in other words, right, there is,
you know, there's something.
There's added security. Right, correct. There is added security. Right, even with a fence around, even with a small, there is added security. I guess you have to say something like that. So here also, meaning when there's any type of additional security, so there we turn to every resident and say, look, this is for the betterment of the community. This is for the security, so you're going to give. Okay? So therefore, forced contribution, otherwise known as tax. Okay. So the, but when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, interesting, you're right, that even though there's a gained benefit, there's an automatic realized profit for every member of the community where you can now carry, but there, maybe we can't force a contribution out of everyone for the Chatzeres. Now we have a couple more words coming up in the Gemara, Lishna Achrina Mitzad Shani, but you see the footnotes over here go crazy, right? Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. So everyone points out that these next words of the Gemara are really difficult to read. Some just take it out. Some have a different girsa. Okay, it's hard to read those words. Itmar, Rav Chia Bar Ashi Amar Osin Lechi Ashera, Rav Shema Melakish Amar Osin Korah Ashera. I don't know how Ashera became such a popular topic in these past couple dapim of the Daf Yomi, but, and again, this is not really the place to talk about it. Back in the first parak is where we talked about our Mavu and our Lechi and our Korah, but an Ashera tree. Can I use my Ashera tree? Now again, I should be destroying the Ashera tree, so I'm not quite frankly sure why it's there. But can I use it? Can it serve as a Lechi? Can it serve as a Korah? The Ashera tree is there. Right, just on Shabbos, we just talked about how I have the Asherah tree so that I can ascend and descend down the wall, even though you're not allowed to get any benefit from the Asherah tree. Here, can the Asherah tree serve as my lechi at the front of the Mavui? The Asherah tree is planted right at the front. Or let's say the branch of the Asherah tree is going over the top of the Mavui. Can it serve as a Korah? Yes or no? Gemara brings down a machlokas. So, I'm sorry. Rabbi Chia Bar Ashi Amar, Osin, even stranger, even right. Yeah. You're right. Osin Lachi Ashera, Rabbi Shimon Lachish Amar, Osin Korah Ashera. Okay, so we have, it's not, we'll see, it could be a machlokas. So Mandamar Korah Kol Shekein Lachi. Now, if you're allowing the Ashera to serve as your Korah, you're for sure going to be okay with using it as a Lachi. Why? A Korah has a minimum width. Right. Of a tefach. A lechi has no minimum width whatsoever, even a mashahu. In fact, just recently I did a small tour, a mini tour of the Erev around our community here in Boca. One of our lechayim is a string. Okay? It's just a string. So in other words, so if you're okay with the Asherah being serving as a korah, you're for sure going to be okay with it as a lechi. And mandam a lechi of a korah lo. Now, but if you're okay with a lechi, you may not necessarily agree by a korah. Why? Ketutim echtashire, because we know that by any ashere, it needs to be burnt. So even though right now it's in its full state, we view it already as already pulverized, destroyed. It's ashes right now. So there's no shear to it. So how can it be serving as my korah when the korah has to be minimum tefach? Meanwhile, by the lechi, since there's no real shear for the lechi, although there is a vertical shear for the lechi has to be 10 tefachim high, but that's it though, in terms of the width, even a mashu. So it could be serving as a lechi, but not necessarily as a korah. So it could be that there's a machlokas over here, whether the asherah could be used. What about the fact that you can't get hana from it? Okay, that's, admittedly, that's an issue. Meaning, and why the Gemara doesn't raise that as an issue, that we're not allowed to get benefit from it. Although, again, you can make an argument similar to one we made on Shabbos, which is that there's a certain reality that we can't ignore. I mean, it's there, and the whole purpose of a Korah and a Lechi is to serve as a hecker. So, in other words, although we're not allowed to get benefit from it, but they're also the inescapable reality that it's standing right there. And I do now, it does serve as a way of indicating, here's where the Mavui ends, and here's where the Rosh Hashanah Rabban begins. So, okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah on Pam and Bays. Okay, today, our big topic for today was when you are acquiring the Erev Chatzeros, Erev Tchum on behalf of somebody else, does it have to be done on Yidei Acher? And the simple answer for today's daf is yes. Under all circumstances, it has to be Kinyan on Yidei Acher. Someone has to be receiving it, either the person who's actually benefiting or a Shliach on his behalf. Okay, and then then we talked about forcing Erev Chatzeros, forcing Schiros. Schiros reshus from a guy. If they're not willing, can you do it from the wife? And again, the Gemara's conclusion is yes, you can. Okay, two big topics for today. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Amar Tzakash Baruch Zaki Sof Icha Chirvam Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Nai Chafetz Amantikol Yagdut Rabbi Yehuda.